I rushed out the door at 5:30 this morning, so I'm just catching my breath. So today's about breathing, and I'd like to, you know, as you're probably well aware, you know, mindfulness of breathing, anapanasati, watching the breath, and so on is pretty kind of standard theme in meditation. But I'd like you to kind of forget that for a while, maybe for a day. and just kind of start from scratch again and look at experience breathing perhaps in a different way than you'd imagine it, and work from there and get the sense of meditation arising out of that. Yeah. Remember things like watching the breath isn't an expression that the Buddha used. Meditation isn't an expression he used. So along with these terms, we can bring in a certain restriction on our breathing and create tensions around breathing that then begin to make themselves felt in meditation. You get kind of tense and struggling to get this breathing going, which we're doing pretty well for the rest of your life. You've been doing it without too much problem. Until you're being mindful of it. So we'd like to also, you know, recollect what mindfulness is. You know, it's a lot simpler, perhaps a more natural than we might have considered it. So first of all, and the term is, retreats back breathing the body, sort of short phrase, because I'd like you to bear in mind that breathing to be effective has to affect your whole body, because that's where the oxygen goes, that's where the energy goes, isn't it? You know, if you're breathing in and out, your whole body is going to feel the benefits of that. Yeah, it's not just the nose job, is it? So it's got to kind of get itself felt through the whole system, otherwise it's not really good breathing. Yeah. So whole body breathing. And also, I'd like you to bear in mind that the what's translated as breathing is anapana, meaning in, out, and pana, meaning the life force. So the life force is, it flows in and out. Yeah. So with pana, like prana, if you've ever done pranayama, there is some work on respiration, you know, actual controlling and working with the breathing as it comes from your lungs to your nose and so forth. But that really is just an entry point to the circulation of the prana, which is kind of come up the spine and through the whole body. So prana is a Sanskrit for pana, which is the Pali word. So I'd like us to just recognize that the Indian, in fact the Asian way of looking at breathing is much more in terms of chi, pana, prana, than the more scientific Western materialist point of view, which is really air going from your nose into your lungs and out again. Yeah. It's a much broader thing, and that particular piece, which I'll call respiration, the nose to the lungs, is an important part of that, but it's by no means all of it. And if you just keep it to that rather narrow area, you don't get the benefit, you don't get the ease, you don't get the full effect of mindfulness of breathing. It's because mindfulness of breathing affects the whole body, it calms the nervous system, it balances the body energy. Because of this, the Buddha felt this is a really good way to let the mind ease, steady, relax, and gather itself. Because when the body feels comfortable and at ease in terms of its nervous energy, in terms of its vitality, it becomes steady and pleasant and your mind naturally then draws into it, because the mind is attracted to an experience which is comfortable and pleasant. Right. So that's the kind of peace, yeah? Now you may have considered, well, mindfulness of breathing is placing your attention on your nostrils, and that, yeah, you can start there if you so wish, but just to bear in mind, this is not the way the Buddha taught it. It's a development, and we should be recognized this is just one specific instance of how to do it. And if you just leave it there, my sense is that it's going to take quite a while to really get the benefit of the breathing, and also you're going to find it rather difficult to maintain focus on that particular place in your body. Yeah. I mean, how many times in a day do you find yourself attracted to the end of your nose? It's not the home base, is it? But you might say you do become aware of a kind of a overall sense of being speedy or feeling relaxed, the feeling sunk, feeling rigid, feeling tensed up, knotting in your solar plexus, tightening up in your face. You may very well experience those, and that's what we're going to work with when we practice breathing. Because all this is something accessible to breathing and remedial. You can remedy these afflictive experiences in breathing and to open them up to being a situation experience of deep comfort and relaxation. And that naturally then your mind will go into that, and you'll find it tends towards unification or samadhi. Yeah. Right. Take a deep breath. And breathing helps the bodily posture. Bodily posture and breathing support each other. And if you get your body positioned in a good and balanced way, you'll find your breathing becomes deep and full, and eventually this, we call this the inner body, that is the sense of a inner quality that feels steady, that helps to hold and moderate what I call the outer body, which is the hard stuff, you know, the muscles, the bones and so forth. That all this structural body, the outer body, is like the wrapping or a casing around an inner body, which is a quality of has a quality of vitality and ease to it. So when we sit, sit in a way whereby you can take the pressure off your off your diaphragm. So the diaphragm, this sheet of muscle at the end, at the bottom of the rib cage between the chest cavity and the abdominal cavity. This is a very central feature of the body and of breathing. And when we sit, if we sit, you know, slumped or hunched over, then you press on this diaphragm. Yeah. So that naturally is going to mean its ability to flex will be less. If it flexes less, you can't get the depth of the breathing coming from the belly. So, and then get a restricted breath pattern. So what we're trying to do when we come into posture is recognize below the diaphragm, you know, from the diaphragm down through the body, down past the waist into the pelvic floor. You want to keep this area like, imagine like it's a balloon or a ball. Yeah. So, and it's, you want to get it big and open. So when we sit, you pull as you sit, as you take up your sitting position. Push down with your hips. Push down into the ground with your hips. So that causes, if you push down through your tail, it causes the body to lift a little. Yeah, so if we're sitting like that, you push down through the tailbones. It's going to lift your body. You just get a sense of recognizing that the spine is flexible, we push down, you get the lower spine flexes inwardly, and you get a slight curve in the lower spine. And this allows your chest and your rib cage, this kind of rather weighty area, to now rest on the spine rather than on the belly. You push down. So all this stuff above the diaphragm can now rest on this spring, which is like the curve in the lower back. So you get, rather than like that, where it rests on your belly, it rests down through your hips into the ground. The effect of this is it lifts the chest. It also gives the indication to the chest to open up, the shoulders to come back rather than be hunched forward. Shoulders come back, and also to be able to drop the shoulders. And if you get that, then focus, draw a line up your spine to the middle of the back, between the shoulder blades, and this area is also flexible, and you can push it towards your heart, just as if we're doing this. You do that, you recognize your spine can come inwards, pushes in. If you do that, it rolls over, and like this, it pushes in, and you will get a sense in which that spinal area between your shoulder blades is inclining towards the heart. So it's, in other words, it's almost, it's encouraging the chest to open up and the arms to come back. And you can play with that a little bit, because you know you can put a lot of force into it and relax a little, but finding a way where that comes into a natural sense of balance. The center of the back between the shoulder blades. And then you, all this helps to counteract some of the ways in which our posture will tend towards the chest closing, the shoulders coming in, and the shoulders hunching over, like you're driving or you're typing or you're reading, you know, you're over. You're kind of like, so the chest tends to cave in and the shoulders roll round and the head droops forward. This is going to very much compress the breath channel, so you want to keep counteracting that tendency, bringing the opening up the lower belly, pulling the spine in, opening the chest, dropping the shoulders, and then coming up into your neck. And just bear in mind that your neck is a continuation of the spine. So you see the neck can come forward and all the way back. And where does it feel? You know, sometimes you bring your neck back and you feel this pain and sensations running down your shoulders from that, because you're affecting the muscles, because the muscles tend over time to gradually get used to being hunched over. Quite a lot of energy can get released just by tipping your head back. And now bringing it so that your neck really feels like a continuation of the spine rather than something that's separate from your body. Turn it a little. Now, just a small exercise. If you bring your hand up, palm facing you, look into your hand now. Now imagine that hand is going to, rather than turning your head from your head, imagine the hand is somehow holding your head and gradually pulling it around. So keep relaxing your neck muscles and let your eyes follow that hand, moving around, then bring the other hand up, switch it over. It's just imagine as if there is kind of like a band or strings between your hand and your head, and it's purely that hand movement that's doing the turning. And so you're relaxing your neck, your jaw, and let your head be gently turned, as if almost someone else is doing it for you. You can't, as if you can't move your head without that hand. What this does is it brings your head back onto your, into your body. Because characteristically, we lose our heads because the eyes will take us out into the signals from here. Like that, and your body kind of runs along underneath your head trying to catch up with it. Relax the eyes and just let the head be turned. Yeah. Just feel what's happening in the sides of your neck. Can you relax your throat, open your throat? Feel how, feeling the movement of the shoulder and the arm and the hand and the head as one unit. Just that shoulder, hand, head, one unit. How does that feel? So let's just bring that down. We're continuing our checking with the body. Imagine the head is rather like a ball on top of a fountain of water. Just the skull is just resting on your neck, quite loose. To contemplate sensations in your jaw, in the temples of your head, around the eyes and the forehead. Can those places where you're associated with effort and willpower and gestures and expressions, can that all that just switch off, relax? Acknowledging that what's around us at this particular time is non-intrusive, non-obstructive, completely safe, and getting the feeling of sitting in your own comfortable, safe space where the alert signals can be switched off, almost as if we're just sitting on our own. and coming in inside your head. So you might feel the tongue in your mouth, particular places inside your head where you would normally say sneeze or swallow or gulp or chew, and coming inside your mouth, relaxing the root of the tongue, behind the eyes, the sinuses, around the eyes, all this exploring the inner body, coming down inside your neck, see if you're aware of the voice box, and instead of being about to speak, we have something like a sigh. So the voice box and the vocal apparatus is also relaxed. In the region just beneath your throat notch, the upper chest. What does it feel like if you're inside that area? Widening, softening. Go from the top of one arm across the body to the top of the other arm. How is that area for you? Is there anything there that you can unplug? Not need to be on guard about. And continuing to gently move down inside your body, behind the breastbone and the heart, around the heart. So as you feel yourself breathing in, does this area swell a little? Does it swell easily? Not much, but it feels able to do that. Feel yourself breathing in, letting the in-breath inside you be something like a force that gently pervades and opens from within, opening your chest from within. Can we contemplate the whole barrel of the chest, like it's a large ball or balloon, has the potential to swell. It swells in all directions. It lifts and it widens. So it comes up and it also expands widthways. Not looking at big distances, we're looking at pliability. So that the body is willing and happy to relax into what the breath does, what breathing does. Just checking if that experience in your chest, is there any cutoff? Is there any cutoff around your collar or your throat? Or can your head also feel very much part of that? So there's no sense of the head is sitting on top of something, but that movement of your chest and that swelling of air and energy can make itself felt through your throat. Your throat is open and your face receives that message of breathing in, opening, brightening. So the cutting off can occur through a certain nervousness around the throat, or even trying to figure it out up in your head, eyebrows, forehead. So these areas, can they relax and just be able to be receiving whatever the breath wants to do? So there's really not much distance here between the awareness and the breathing. Awareness has no particular strategy. It doesn't want to concentrate or understand anything. It's just aware of receiving breathing. Fully into your body. Very intimate. So this area of your body tends to be associated with a conscious cognitive functioning, planning, thinking, making things happen, understanding, achieving results. And so we put all those things to one side and let the breathing flow through that. You get the sense of that, how that whole body can be affected by that, your upper body. That's contemplating things like, are your hands able to be relaxed? Because they still can carry those messages of hold it, control it, make something happen, be in charge. And that psychological message will affect the subtle inner body to make it less free and less flowing. As we continue, let's but come to the solar plexus and below the solar plexus and below the navel and below the waist, perhaps the most useful way is to contemplate breathing out. That's the sense of breathing out, which is very much a descending, letting go, loosening. It's loosening, letting go. So we have this attitude in mind. Can we allow the breathing to go out very slowly, steadily, peacefully, so we're not just dropping it or switching off, but we're consciously almost lowering our awareness into the inner body, the heart beneath the skin. Just imagine that. Another ball, another balloon, the abdominal cavity, with the diaphragm being the skin of the balloon, the upper skin of the balloon. And let that balloon gently deflate. Behind the muscles of the stomach and the all the digestive nerves, a lot of nervous energy in the viscera. Going down behind the navel. And to the lower abdomen, somewhere between the navel and the floor of the pelvis, you find a muscle or a place where you get breathing out and breathing in, where it begins, lower center. So if you breathe all the way out, let yourself breathe all the way out, you'll find somewhere between your navel and the pelvic floor, the pubis, there's going to be a kind of tightening at the end of the out-breath. Like a slight pulling, and then beginning of the in-breath, that's lets go. It lets go and it allows the in-breath to occur. So it's a few inches below the navel. Continuing that inner gentle lowering, descending, to this place which when the out-breath completes itself, it feels quite firm there, and you can have the attitude of resting, just resting on that floor, that ending the out-breath. And it's almost as if we're giving up the control and we allow the in-breath to happen when it will. So pausing. And you feel a certain energy build up in this lower place. Feel the energy build up and then it begins to pull and cause this abdomen to swell. In this lower place, the lower center, is the power, place of power and strength. This is what will generate the breathing and draw the breathing back, send the breathing forward, bring it back. And if we access and stay with this place for a little while, so you can tell the other places to relax. You don't need to pull any air in through your chest. You don't need to pull any air in through your throat. You don't need to pull any air in with your nose. You don't need to gulp or gasp. Just allow this center to operate, and it's a natural center, and it will do the work for you. And this center is in accord with the natural body. Rather than the socially organized body, which tends to be led by the head. They're kind of reversing. And the rest of your body, what it needs to learn is how to open up, say in your sinuses, underneath your eyes, the nasal passages, the throat, the voice box, collar, chest. This needs to open to allow this breath to be pulled in and out through the place of the lower, in the lower abdomen. Then we get something that is very steep, very deep, calm, rhythmic. there's these places in your body, they can open up, they can relax and open up, you'll feel a subtle energy spreading through your face, up in forehead, down your arms. It's a very subtle, soft thing, like a faint breeze. And it occurs just behind the track of the breath, of the respiration.